comprehensive land use plan today. It's another workshop. We have public comment periods beginning and end. So I see Mr. Kramer with his hand in the air, so we're going to start with him.
My name is Dan Kramer. You know, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a right to opinion. Everybody's got armpits, and they stink. So some of these opinions stink, including maybe some of mine. But you know what? If the county council had done their job from the word go and allowed you guys to do your job, we'd already be pretty near done. But instead of following the law to the T, they decided to have sit on their brains and tell you guys what you're going to do versus you guys putting your plan together, which should have been a Susquehanna plan, not the Kent County plan, not the governor's plan, nobody out of Kent County, I don't care who they are, put your plan together, win, lose, or draw, and if they don't like it, they can lump it. Anyway, because I'm not going to pull no punches. I've seen this thing going on since way back yonder. Should have been done. The code said, the law says, this is not a new plan. It's an upgrade. So why don't you guys follow the upgrade like you're supposed to? And then you got people coming in here. Climate change. Oh, yeah. Climate change this morning. Climate change last night. So what are you going to do with climate change? You know those poor people on the east side? They're all going to drown. Because in 100 years, it's going to be 3 foot of water, right? Biggest bunch of boulder ever was. But in the meantime, they don't like it. Move out. Let somebody else live there. Because in 100 years, ain't a person in this room that's going to be alive. And you'll never see it. So why waste the time? Thank you.
All right, then. Thank you, sir. Okay. Who's next? Yes, sir. Sure. Come on up.
Tough act to follow. I have a handout.
Okay, if you would give it to our attorney or director, and they'll see if we get it.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you again for the opportunity to address you once again. I'm Jeff Stone. From Milton, I'm here today representing the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth, SARGE as we call it. I attended the commissioners meeting, our commissioners March 8th workshop, took advantage of the opportunity to address you at your March 9th meeting. Just to refresh you, SARGE is a nonpartisan alliance whose focus is to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Sussex County as to the critical importance of the comprehensive plan to their quality of life. We see ourselves working in a complementary fashion with your efforts to get as many citizens and their diverse views from all around the county included in the writing of the new comprehensive plan. We are all about getting residents involved. On the 9th, my comments focused on our goal of having as many residents offer their views and suggestions for inclusion in the new plan, asked how the commission and its consultants were including the comments already received in drafting of the plan. We offered a recommendation to include public comments in each draft element. Regarding that effort, I've come today armed with some analysis we did on the comments received at the fall board exercise from the first round sessions to help you in your deliberations. I'll get to that in just a moment. First, another question. During our look at the comments from last fall, we tried to update them with comments offered since then at the commission meetings and workshops. Unfortunately, we couldn't find where they're archived, so we're wondering how these comments and suggestions will be utilized and made available for your consideration and for us to review. We'd very much like to have them available to include in our efforts. I just may not be looking in the right place.
So the comments during a public meeting, during a planning commission meeting, are part of the minutes of that meeting.
Okay. So we need to get each of the minutes and go through. Okay, that's fine. We can do that. Anyway, continuing, as I said, on the 9th, we are very happy to see the turnout of the various board exercise sessions that were held around the county and the thoughtfulness of the comments. Just under 700 comments were offered at those sessions, and that's the subject of our presentation. As the handout attached shows you, we took a look at those comments as listed on the SussexPlan.com website, did a quantitative compilation analysis of them. This was just a look at the gross numbers without attempting to do any qualitative look at the specific comments themselves. As the table in the chart shows, of the 678 comments, 343 or 50% came from the Lewis event, with the balance ranging from 103 in Millville to 53 in Seaford. We did not try to quantify whether the comment fit the element. If it was in there, it was counted. What stood out most to us was the concentration of comments in three plan elements. 460 of the 678 total comments were about transportation, land use, and conservation, 68%. What was also striking was the consistency from location to location. In every place, north and south, east and west, those three elements drew the most comments. We think this is an extremely important indicator of the issues the residents of Sussex are most concerned about and need the greatest attention from the county government. The next step is to attempt to qualify the comments made, and that's underway as we speak. However, with the obvious limits of space of a post-it note, sometimes it's difficult to determine exactly what was on the mind of a resident, so we're working hard to best interpret those comments. We hope our analysis will be meaningful in your important work. As you move forward with the planning process, we trust you'll use our suggestions and analysis in the spirit which they're offered, which is to get as many residents as possible to make their views known on the future of the county. I know we share that goal with you. I thank you for your time. Look forward to continuing our dialogue.
Great. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Conaway.
Are they all the same, or
that's pretty interesting.
Hey Joe, are they all the same, or
no? There's two separate things, and I'll speak to them as we. Janelle, just for your information, I did sign into.
Thank you.
So we know who you are.
Yeah, just so you know who I am, in case somebody didn't. I'm here just to speak about economic development. I made my comments about the DLDOT. When they come with a check, they should be players. If they don't come with a check, they're not players. I'm a charter member of the Sussex County Economic Action Committee. It was created in 2008, led to the creation by the county. In fact, Dave Baker, who was the administrator at that time, announced at that meeting that the county was finally going to hire an economic development director again because the state of Delaware, through its Department of Economic Development, had failed this county miserably as far as jobs. That has been done, and as far as I know, they're still looking for someone, and hopefully we'll have a new one in a short period of time. I do want to make some comments about the notes that were developed as a result of the meeting on June 24th. As I explained, I was not able to attend that meeting because of prior commitments at John Hopkins. But I will say that in reading the minutes and talking to the people who were there, I think there was some misunderstanding that what was said. But let me go through some of this. The first comment concerns about a large amount of development occurring in a county that is not supported by infrastructure. I don't believe that was made quite that way. As I've said before, CDAC has undergone a collection of data from all the towns. We've visited, in fact, I've visited a number of them, to see what infrastructure, what they have to offer so that a booklet can be put together. It's being done in conjunction with the University of Delaware, and it's been a great deal of help. I always start my comments about economic development with this. Sussex County and the Delmarva Peninsula has the highest out-migration of young people in the United States. young people between 18 and 25 do not stay in Sussex County. Two of my four children will not be back because they can't make the money they're making elsewhere. And the other two are in the profession that is probably the largest professional field in Sussex, and that's teachers. This number has come from the county's original application for economic development funds that built the airport and the industrial park. My 14 years as administrator, I tried, but I wasn't successful. So I share the blame in our failure to attract jobs to keep our young people. But that number hasn't changed. In fact, if anything, it's probably worse, that our kids will not stay because they can make money elsewhere. I've mentioned already about the roads. They are a major problem. I would agree with Mr. Stone, who, by the way, worked for economic development in the state. I would share that they are a problem, but until the state of Delaware, and I've served since 1973, I've yet to see them provide a road for the people of Sussex County. Oh, yeah, they'll build Route 1 to get their folks down to the beach, but they won't do anything to help me get from, at this point, Georgetown over. If you know the back roads, it's not a problem. Where are the people locating to do business is one comment that was made. There are appropriate areas for business in the present grow zones, but they need to be expanded because they are, in fact, being filled up. We need to create opportunities for the industries that run this county, tourism and agriculture. And if we are ever to get well-paying jobs, then we must also attract industrial growth. Anyone who thinks we're going to land a 2,000-employee business is probably smoking illegal something, but our business is going to be 100 to 200 if we're that fortunate. But we need to start doing that, and we have the industries that need support. Irrigation equipment that's sold out of Bridgeville, for example, the people who service that, they ought to be located here. I've heard Bob Wheatley say the same thing.
People that build it ought to be located
here. Yeah, yeah. They build it right here. We need to be doing that, and the state needs to be having their people out doing it to try to do that. But our growth areas need to be addressed, and I do have a point to be made on that at a later point in this presentation. To the county's council's credit, they just purchased 74 acres adjacent to the county's industrial park and will now develop it. In fact, the first client is already there in Atlantis Plastic out of Milton, a company that came a long time ago, and I'm delighted to see them expanding. So the county has to do that, but we don't have sites. I don't know of any, and you gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, know better than I don't think there are any heavy industrial zones left in this county that are not developed. I think there are very few light industrial sites that are available. So we don't have the ready land, and when you hear the term shovel ready, that's what they're talking about. We shouldn't spend 6 months going through a zoning process because land should be available to do that. Another comment that was made, and I doubt it was said this way, that there should be incentives to dissuade farmers from selling their land. The last meeting, again, Bob Wheatley said it again. The only way you save farmers is to make farming profitable. If they can make money farming, they will not sell their land. And the way you do that, and I've heard talk of this too, is to create an ag overlay zone. And one of the hand-ups, Mr. Robinson, is in fact the only ag overlay zone in Delaware, happens to be in Bridgeville. We created that when we annexed a lot of land, and at this point in time, that land still annexed. It's not under the pressure to develop as things have slowed considerably there, but it does provide for the farmer to do things that farmers do and not to have to go through a lot of red tape to get it done. That may not be the best ordinance, but it is an ordinance. It is available, and I'm sure you have smarter people than me that can find an ordinance that'll work. A farmer ought to be able to use his land pretty much as he chooses within restraints he has neighbors to be concerned about. But I've never forgotten a call I used to get every January from a lady who had moved in outside of Milton alongside the Draper King Cole farm. And as cows will do, the odor would be a little bit interesting when the winter thaw came, and she'd call and suggest that I had to get rid of those cows. And being, as you, those of you who know me know, I have a great deal of tact, after I stopped laughing, I suggest that they were there first. I would think that we need to do that kind of stuff, that it shouldn't be an impediment to farmers to farm their land. Another comment, and again, I'm not saying these weren't made. I just think that those who reported it may have misinterpreted what was said, that developers aren't contributing enough. Developers are not paying their fair share. I don't believe it was said quite that way, because I believe developers are the only people who, in fact, are paying their fair share, that any road improvements, and I point to Bayside Americana, the peninsula, project I did down at Cedar Neck, it's called Bethany Forest, actually spent $500,000 improving the intersection in Ocean View of Route 26 and whatever that street is in there, so that traffic could make a simple right turn, solve the problem, at least for that particular problem. And that was paid for entirely by developers, not by the state of Delaware. The state has abandoned us. One of the other comments was, and I'm not sure what this means, that it needs to change the local identity of the county as industry changes. Your plan must recognize that tourism is a major, major industry, and we must support it, especially in those zoning applications that add to and support this industry. And that means that residential development and those kind of commercial developments that lend itself to tourism, which is a major billion-dollar industry in this county and this state, have to be supported. One of the things that I've heard over and over again, and I'm not even computer illiterate, I'm not even at that level, Kim, I just haven't reached that level. If it weren't for grandchildren, I probably wouldn't be able to handle my smartphone, which is one of the things that's smarter in my house than I am, including the television, which, by the way, I think is spying on me. Can you help me with that?
Actually, it's your microwave. Yes.
Well, I do stand away from it when I put the coffee in to warm it again.
Really should.
It says that high-speed internet is lacking in the county, and I would certainly agree that it is lacking, but I don't know that it's lacking at the level we think it's lacking. For example, you'll find that every Delaware Electric Co-op substation in this county, and there are 19 of them, have internet, high-speed internet to them today. Today. And so what I suggest, and that's the second handout, and I've given you the location of all 19 of those substations, I think that they should be incorporated into any growth area that is developed in this county, that the growth area for Sussex County should include every one of them, because the problem with electricity and high-speed internet is solved immediately. Water and sewer would follow, especially in the western side. The county is now deciding a plan that we started in 73 to run sewer lines from Greenwood to, I guess, Seaford. It should go to Delmore. So there would be county sewer available there. But those areas should be in any growth zones, and they should be the center of those growth zones so that you can grow out from it. Because it answers the question, how do we handle growth? We don't have the infrastructure. Well, there's two of them right there. As far as the ag industry, I'm going to offer three suggestions. The state should consider preserving farmland that is under the pressure to be developed. If it's not under pressure to be developed, the buy rights for farmland is a waste of our tax dollars. And if you look at what the county, and not the county, what the state has done, I think you'll find parcels that are so far out of the mainstream that they just will never. Mr. Kramer said it in his lifetime, well, it won't be in any of our lifetimes because there's just no impetus to build out there. Secondly, farmers need to be paid the market price for their land, not what they're doing now. They arrive at a price, split it in half, and give the farmer a tax break. That's not the answer. I hate to go in this direction, but in Newcastle County, there were two parcels that were part of probably the loss in the election of the past county executive. But in my mind, they were the only two parcels that ever have been done properly. They were paying that farmer, those farmers, the amount of money they should have paid them because that land had already been approved for development, that SOAR was already, the county was required by law because they lost the court case to provide SOAR to those sites. And they lost it because the farmer was going to be paid what probably was the proper price for that land. I think farmers ought to get that kind of thing. And finally, don't preserve farmland that's under no pressure to be developed. If you go out to Woodland on the way in from 404, and I've been in that area a long time, there's not going to be anything out there. Yet there's farmland preserved there. Economic development, one of the comments, shouldn't only be an element of the comprehensive plan. It should be a common theme woven throughout the plan. If your plan, as it finally is created, and it will be your plan, if it doesn't include economic development as its backbone, it will fail this county. You have to make that part of this operation, or it's just not going to be good. As far as employment and workforce, I do have some comments there. One of them, this county is in need of more affordable housing to support the workforce. I would agree with that 100%. In fact, one of my clients stood in front of this group on a number of occasions to develop an affordable housing rental program on Plantation Road. Those of you who were here at that time, I remember the crowds that it generated. The folks, and I've read the comments that Mr. Stone referred to, and, you know, let's have more affordable housing, but not in my backyard. That's the problem, folks. Arbors of Collinsdale, which was approved, the county has worked diligently to make the ordinance work so that they can actually spend the 20-plus million to take a brown site off our list and develop a property that would, and then provide workforce housing. Mr. Robinson's been involved in that. They've done everything possible. So when folks say, let's have more affordable housing, yeah, let's see you show up at the hearings and say that when your neighbors are standing there saying no. It's easy to say. I did one, and it's the only one. County, again, passed ordinances that would allow for this to happen, affordable housing, both rental and a purchase. We did one in Bridgeville. In fact, a gentleman wanted to annex to Bridgeville, had 100 acres. I told him after he submitted his design, it was a wonderful design, but where were the bonus houses that he got for affordable housing? Oh, he said, we're not doing that. And I said, well, you're not annexing. And he didn't. So it's easy to say, and I, you know, admire your willpower to make that happen, but it's not quite as easy because the opposition will come out. Where are their jobs? Well, another comment is it takes nearly 2 hours to get to work. Well, and that's the case in many places because there is no public transportation that works. You can't solve that problem. It's a state problem. and a different situation has to be developed. And again, this is something we've talked about for years, but we don't correct it. Let's the powers that be who have the responsibility for public transportation correct it. There's another comment about jobs. I picked up and I decided, I went to a job fair. People wanted to hire me to do things that I couldn't do, like HVAC. Pick up a Sussex guide. It's loaded. It's loaded. I suspect that our technical high school doesn't provide that training. And there's training for kids to come right out and get jobs. But that, again, is not your problem. You can't make the vocational school do that kind of stuff. And you notice I use the term vocational school because that's what the mission statement of Sussex Tech is. It's a vocational school, not a college-bound school, which it is, and it's the best one in Delaware. They do the great job getting kids ready for school. Well, I think economic development is absolutely crucial to this plan. I think if we're ever going to make it possible for our youngsters to stay here and find a job that pays them more than minimum wage, that we need to do it now, or we won't have anybody to service the seniors that are in need of the health care and all the other things that make this work. CDAC is in the process of reorganizing. We may have a new set of officers, and we may have a new direction, but it is time for me to quit apologizing for not getting it done for 14 years in this building next door. It's time for me to put my money where my mouth is, but it's time for this plan to reflect that we need jobs, and it must be easy to go through this process. We cannot allow industries to move out of this county because getting the permits to do things takes so long. Thank you. And again, thank you for doing this. You're all very busy people. And the staff's very busy. But to spend the days you're going to spend doing this, I think sends a great message to the public that you're doing your job, and I thank you for it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else like to speak? Okay, yes, sir, in the black dark shirt.
Good morning, everyone.
Roy Messmer.
It's hard following this gentleman, though. He covered everything. But I'm here today just to talk about one item, and I do appreciate you having this comment form. I did attend your county meeting over at the Nassau Firehouse a few months back, and I spoke to this attorney and I spoke to Mr. Vincent. It was well laid out. Where I was raised and did a lot of business, it wasn't as laid out as well as you guys and ladies have done in this state. I was also at the governor's meeting the other day, the workshop. I have about a 10-page letter out to him. But the reason why I'm here today, and I could talk about every item that's on here, but I just want to address the land use. Having developed property myself up and down the East Coast, not a big developer, but I've never seen a situation where a developer can come in or a landowner and strip the topsoil. In other states, you have to get a soil removal permit. You have to justify why that soil's leaving. Now, I'm not going to talk about climate warming and everything else going on. I mean, I could talk about that too. But when you strip the soil, the biggest problem, and you see right away, is drainage. There's no place for that water to go. It's like asphalt. It just flows off. And I don't know if I'm speaking to the right body here or if it's something up at the state level. But I speak for a lot of people. I don't have a petition here. I won't do something like that for this situation. But if somebody could answer me, does that come under your purview? Can you stripping topsoil? Let me tell you what the joke is down here. where our topsoil gets, and it's never in the paperwork, and it gets carted off, stripped, carted off, and then you buy it back at Lowe's or Home Depot. And people who aren't in the real estate development, whether they're a realtor or they're the landowner, builder, nobody talks about it, but the people who aren't in those phases, and all the businesses are related to that because of the amount of growth down here, one way or another. And I don't know of anybody that's addressed it. I have been at one meeting. I'm not going to tell you where it was. A guy came up to me and says, you shouldn't be here. I gave him my peace of mind. And you don't talk to me like that. Not what my family's done for this country. But anyway, so that's my little homily here today. So am I talking to the right body, or do I have to go someplace else?
Well, it sounds like a soil conservation issue more.
Right.
I mean, that certainly.
But Chairman, you have land use on your form.
Well,
yeah, that's why I'm here.
I understand our purview of land use. I think is a much broader than the issue you're speaking of. Although your issue is most literally land use, because apparently it's the topsoil that is being used in a manner that you're uncomfortable with, and I'm not sure that it's anything that that this particular body that can address. Although county council certainly has the ability to create ordinances if they see fit. It does sound to me it was more of a Sussex Soil Conservation District issue. I would more likely see that type of regulation coming from that group than from the county. So I would suggest that you share your concerns with them too.
With the soil conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And who appoints them, or are they elected down here?
That's a state agency.
Okay. I didn't get the letter out to the governor. I guess I'll put that on there now. I didn't want to get it out to him until I came in and saw this.
Their office is over kind of, for Sussex, catty corner from Del Dot, behind the, what is it, Troop 4?
Yeah. Okay. Well, now you've, the highway. Yeah. At least I've gotten an answer here where I have to go next.
Well, okay. I can just say in my limited knowledge and experience of how dirt is used on a site is that a lot of times topsoil is moved and then replaced, used on the same site.
Right.
It's just used in a different place. It's not like it's being stripped off and wholesaled to Lowe's. In fact, my experience is...
Well, it doesn't go to Lowe's. I know the company it goes to. But.
My experience has been is when you have topsoil, you can't sell it, and when you need it, you pay a fortune for it.
Right.
So, certainly, I would encourage you to share your concern with the soil conservation folks and see where it goes.
Okay, but could I ask for you five to help me out, though? I mean, can I get some response? Do you agree with me? Do you tell me to drop? You're not going to help me? Help
well,
us?
I can only speak for myself, but right. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I haven't thought about it. And I'm not prepared to make any comments about it yet because I haven't had a chance to think about it. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay.
Just to understand, sir, that every part of the country has different soils, different soil structure.
Right.
And drainage is a big issue here in Sussex County because topography-wise we're flat.
Mm-hmm.
So generally developments have to try to create drainage in fall so that it works. During heavy storms, water leaves the mm-hmm. property, goes into stormwater management. I don't know, but I seriously doubt if there's much topsoil being sold. I think it's being stripped off because of foundational issues. We do have some requirements for foundational support and soil types as far as using select fill versus our highly organic topsoil. And our soils generally run in three things. We have a very narrow band of topsoil, maybe 6-8 inches,
right.
Sometimes less. Then there's a layer of clay, and then underneath the clay there's sand, silt. And what causes our drainage issue is that layer of clay,
right.
And it's because it holds water. So, you'll see developers go in there and recognize actually the need for topsoil in certain places, and they'll remove that and put basic good fill in to help support the foundation of the house, keep the house dry underneath, and then use that topsoil elsewhere. I'm not saying everyone does that.
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion is I'm not inclined to get into those minutia issues of the developer. I think the soil conservation has to work with them on drainage, and that it is their dirt, and they should have the right to do with it what they feel is necessary, as long as it doesn't hurt the environment and conforms to soil conservation guidelines.
I appreciate your comment. That's it.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Morning. I don't have any handouts. I am Lynn Betts, and I am a volunteer, essentially. I am a member of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. I am co-founder of that organization in Seaford. I'm co-founder of Code Purple Sussex County, and I'm co-founder of the Community Resource and Service Station in Seaford. I need help getting out of the volunteer business. The only thing I get for this is 14 cents a mile from the state on my taxes, if I'm lucky. And I just want to thank Mr. Conaway for a lot of his comments. The housing issue in Sussex County is past a critical point. When you have at least 8 people that you can count on your hands in a town the size of Seaford who are chronically homeless every night, even though half of them work, we have a problem. Affordable housing is a waste of ink on a piece of paper because there's so many different definitions of affordable housing. It's not affordable at all if you can't make more than $8.25 an hour and work more than 23 hours a week. And the people that I serve, that's the reality. It's all across this county. It's not all a county issue. It's a state issue. It's a community issue. And it's the faith-based organizations that have stepped up out of private donations and the donations in the pew that are trying to hold this county together as far as the people. You can't, like has been said, and like everybody up here knows, if I want to go to Newcastle County and use a quick route, we got Route 1. If I want a job on the east side because it pays more and I live in Seaford, it's going to take me 3 hours to get to work if I don't have my own car. If I have my own car, half the time I can't drive it because I can't afford the insurance. Not me personal, the people who have asked me to be here to be their voice. I want to thank the commissioners, chairman, for having these open sessions. I know I'll be at least 2 more, but I want you to think about those catchphrases that are absolutely worthless to the people in this community. Affordable housing means nothing to them. Having a place where they can lay their head, the sound bites are not working. And I would invite any of you, I know I have already had some of you at the table, come out and listen to the stories. I'm happy to share them. I'm happy to introduce you to people who will share their stories. So many others are one crisis, one hot water tank breakdown, one vehicle breakdown, one step away from being among the homeless in this county too. So whatever information I can provide, I would be happy to do that. And thanks for giving us the opportunity to share that.
Thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. You're back.
Hello, Christian Hudson, Lewis, Delaware. First, thank you. Understand that this is a very thankless job, being the chief spear catchers for the county for the comprehensive plan. So thank you all. As I said, I'm from Lewis, Delaware, local, born here. despite all my gray hairs that come from my four kids, I'm 36. So I apologize for my my youthful optimism, but I'm going to try to.
We're very grateful for the for youthful optimism, sir. Please don't apologize for it.
Well, I'd like to echo a lot of the remarks that have been said about affordable housing and economic development. You know, for me, this is a very real issue. A lot of my generation is gone from this area. A lot of the kids I graduated with aren't here. A lot of the ones that are here or were here have been victims of the heroin epidemic. It's pretty bleak when you're between the ages of about 45 and 25 being from Sussex County. The main jobs that you can have in this county are service industry jobs, at least on the eastern side of the county. To be honest, most of the folks that have moved here don't want to see any more of them. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. My brother and I combined have over 100 employees now. We have Sam Yoder and Son over in Greenwood and Statenville. We've got a new hotel in Rehoboth, the Fairfield Inn on the highway there. My brother and his wife own a salon, and we've got a farm and an airport that we keep up there as well. So we're trying to do our part, but it's pretty amazing. I'd like to echo a lot of the comments that Mr. Conaway was saying about the not in my backyard or the NIMBY. You know, we talk about whether it be affordable housing or we talk about jobs or economic development and, you know, creation and all these things. But then as soon as someone proposes something, we bring out the pitchforks and torches and say, no, no, no. And nobody ever says yes. And I think a lot of the reason there is because demographics, frankly. If you're my age, you care about jobs. You care about the economy. You care about things to do. But it's almost 10 o'clock. Most of my generation's at work. And there's not many people speaking up for my generation. And so democracy is one of those things that it's like, you know, two wolves and a lamb arguing on what they're going to have for dinner. And us lambs are getting tired of getting eaten, quite frankly. So I'd like to kind of give you some specifics rather than just stories. Because, as I said, you know, we have a fair bit of experience in actual job creation. 45 of those jobs we actually saved from going under in the recession. We've added 20 since then. To just that one company. So we know a little bit about it. I don't propose say that I'm an expert by any means, but economic development really is commercial and industrial. Housing's great. Housing provides, you know, a lot of the population base that is required for service industry and manufacturing and other things, but it's one component. Commercial and industrial are by far and away far more contentious issues with the NIMBY crowd than housing. And they're far more needed for the local population. You know, if I retired from, I don't know, New Jersey or Pennsylvania or Baltimore, and I came here on a pension, sold my house up there and made a couple $100,000, moved down here for the low cost of living and low taxes, well, gosh, I probably wouldn't care about your economy either. I just want nothing to change so I can kind of live out my twilight years with a big fat pension check and go out to dinner, and that's about it. But I didn't. I was born here. I have roots here. And I know a lot of you do too. So if we are going to grow, if we do care about our economy, we have to do some specific things. Because as Mr. Conaway said, it is almost impossible to obtain commercial zoning, to obtain approvals for affordable housing, to obtain approvals for almost anything. In fact, a lot of the value in Sussex County real estate is the permits on that land that were obtained prior. It's not so much location, location, location anymore. And that's because it's so hard to get those permits. Unless it's by right. Now, the commercial zones need to be expanded. But even then, when something's in a zone where it makes sense, it's still hard to get it upzoned or rezoned to something that provides jobs, provides tax base, provides all kinds of incentives to the community, or benefits to the community, rather. For instance, one thing, on Route 1 right now between Lewis and Rehoboth, commercial zone land is about $1 million an acre. That's good location because there's a lot of people there. But the main component of that value is it doesn't matter what the NIMBY say and how many of them come out with pitchforks and torches, it's by right. And you can build whatever you can build by right. And a lot of the comments are erroneous. So I think one of the things I would recommend to the council is a expansion on the height restriction. We have to make a choice if we want growth to spread to other areas, which in some cases I think it absolutely does need to happen. I do think there needs to be a lot more options than just Lewis and Rehoboth on Route 1 in eastern Sussex County, specifically northeast. You got the hospital coming in south of Milford there in the 3rd District, basically Broadkill to Nassau, I think, is where the market wants to go. And, you know, for the record, I do own land there, so I'm open about, you know, my bias. But because I live there, I think I should have an opinion on that. But the height restriction is pretty interesting. Your code says that the height of a commercial building shall not exceed the lower of 42 feet or 5 stories. Looking around this room, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person that's built a 4-story building in the last couple of years besides yourselves up here. And it's impossible to build a 4-story building that's 42 feet. It's definitely a commercial building. It's definitely impossible to build a 5-story building that's 42 feet. So your limit becomes 3 stories or 42 feet, or you could build a really ugly 4-story with a flat roof and just no architectural features, but I don't think anybody wants to see that. So if you want growth to be in the Lewis-Rehoboth area, you need to go above that. And I don't know. I mean, I would suggest 5 stories or 65 feet, and that would alleviate a lot of the pressure in the other areas. But I'll leave that to smarter people to debate. I'm just saying that it needs to be raised. The zones, I think, need to be expanded as well. Like I said, we've brought a lot of people into this county in houses, but we've done a poor job about servicing them. So when I was little, we had a lot of hotels for tourists to stay. We had a lot of putt-putt golfs and entertainment centers and all kinds of, you know, things for people to do. And in the boom, we've developed most of those into condos and townhouses. Well, we have much more people here now since we had then, and much less things to do. So, I mean, we got a lot of restaurants, but other than that, we haven't really grown our entertainment sector at all. And I think that's a shame, and I think it's something that needs to be expanded upon, especially for young people. You know, you want to talk about startup jobs. I mean, gosh, how many kids that you guys knew worked at the boardwalk or worked at some little putt-putt golf or, you know, besides tourism, we've got agriculture, and I think the state's pretty well done its level best to eliminate both agriculture and tourism as best they can. And I just don't know how we're supposed to grow if we can't get permits because we're afraid of the NIMBYs who don't care about the jobs. And if we keep pushing regulations to the point where agriculture, I mean, gosh, it's hard to build a chicken house nowadays. If agriculture and tourism aren't major components of our economy, well, what's left? And, you know, I've got four kids, like I said. It'd be really nice if I didn't have two of them leave like Mr. Conaway's because they couldn't find jobs, they couldn't find careers, or couldn't find the services and quality of life that they wanted because there's nothing to do here. And I just think that'd be a real shame to see this place go down the path of Accomack County in Northampton, Virginia. Nothing's happened down there for 30, 40 years or longer. And you drive down there, and it's just one old place after another that's tumbled down, and it's because you can't get permits to remodel it and do something different. You can't expand on anything, so you're left with what is grandfathered and approved and nobody can touch. And when the old folks who run that store pass on, if their young kids don't want to do anything with it, it just browns right out. And you can't bring it up to code because it costs so much money. You can't expand it because you can't get the permits. And, well, then you have a big unemployment and other big issues as well. I'd like to echo another thing. Developers fund almost all of the infrastructure in Sussex County. Especially roads. My father and grandfather developed, along with Mike Lynn, developed the villages of Five Points in Lewis. It was a 200-acre farm right there at the entrance of Lewis at Savannah Road and Route 1 intersection, Coastal Highway. And, you know, they had, in 1998, they had hearings, and it was pretty much the exact same comments that everybody says today about every other single development I've ever heard of. Oh, there'll be too much traffic. Oh, it'll be, you know, a stress on this infrastructure, and these roads are bad, and this and that and the other, and it's all the same stuff. We don't need any more houses. We don't need any more people. We don't need any more stuff to do. We don't need any more grocery store. Who wants a grocery store? Pharmacy. Who wants a bank? Nobody wants any more of that stuff. Same stuff you guys hear every time somebody comes before you looking for permits. Well, long story short, it was not the state of Delaware that expanded Savannah Road. It was not the state of Delaware that realigned Savannah Road. It was not the state of Delaware that did the intersection there by Arby's. It was not the state of Delaware that did the Westcott's Corner intersection and the light there and realigned all that road. It's not the state of Delaware that did the expansion on Savannah Road at the other entrance of it. It was private developers. And those hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars didn't come from the state coffers. They came from us. And that's the impact that development has on the area. Nobody complains about traffic right there now and hasn't for 10 years since the development started. And, well, 10 years, gosh, I'm getting old now. It started in 2001.
Back a little further.
But, and all of this echoes a study that was put out by the University of Delaware and the Sea Grant Institute in 2012 by the Kaber Institute at the University of Delaware, Professor Bill Latham, and I forgot the other gentleman's name. But this is why that every dollar spent in investment in coastal Sussex County has a 300 to 400% impact on the local economy. That's amazing. If you can, good Lord, as a businessman, if I could spend $1 and get $3 back, that would be an unbelievable investment. But that's what you're looking at when private guys take the risk and get the permits to build something. You have lasting impact. Because it's not just, you know, the guys building the houses, it's great. But even when they're coming and going, the guys that have all those jobs in those centers, they're all buying lunch, they're all buying groceries, they're all banking, they're all shopping locally, they're all buying fuel. That's the impact that development has and why we need more economic development, why we need more areas for commercial zoning besides Lewis and Rehoboth, especially on Route 1 where it makes sense. And in Lewis and Rehoboth, why we need an increased height limit. and why I think you should also take a lot of the comments from people that may or may not care about our economy with a grain of salt. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we're pretty far over our time, but there are a lot of folks here. If anyone else would like to speak, Mr. Key, okay.
I come bearing handouts.
Okay, good. Let me just ask, is there anyone else? I don't know Mr. Tunnell's going to speak. Anybody else want to speak this round? Okay, good. We'll let you guys have the floor. Go ahead, Mr. Key. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Frank Key with Solutions here in town, and I live in Rehoboth Beach as well. What sparked my comment here was a suggestion made by your consultants in the last workshop, which was an interest in what architectural details you guys were interested in. And that started me down a path of thought that perhaps one direction that the comprehensive plan might go, or the future might go, is review of architecture. So first, I'm here to suggest that you think carefully about that before you engage in it. I've experienced it in the past, most recently in Washington, D.C., where they do review architecture early on with site plans. The fact is that the last project I was involved in there started with a review of a site plan. The conversation got off on what brick and siding and colors would be used. 18 months later, they're still bogged down in the same conversation. And that's kind of my experience of that. But having said that, it also started me thinking about theming and so forth. As you guys are aware, I was the designer of the Village of Bear Trap Dunes. Bear Trap was highly themed in terms of architecture. And the idea behind it, and this is not the first time this has been done, of course, was that many people come here because of the towns. They see the small towns that they pass through. They get comfortable with the architecture. They think of Lewis and Rehoboth and Bethany and other towns as great places to be. Property values are high. There's stuff to do, etc. So we, as best we could, given the zoning, which was, of course, a residential planned community, we themed the development to look like the indigenous houses in the area, only to live like today. In terms of their livability on the inside. And it worked. Property values are still high. Resales are still good. It's a pleasant place to live. However, it doesn't go as far as one could go. And theming is an interesting thing. And the purpose of these handouts are to show you examples of communities that have been themed, not by the government, not by government trying to govern taste, but rather by developers doing what I did at Bear Trap. And that is Seaside, this is in the Florida Panhandle Coast, Seaside, Rosemary Beach, and Alice Beach. All are within 7 miles of each other. In fact, Rosemary Beach and Alice Beach are almost touching each other. All of these were designed by the same design firm. Two of them for the same developer. One of them started out as what's called Florida Cracker Architecture, and became a little more than that over time. And you can see that as Seaside. Rosemary Beach was designed to appear to be West Indian architecture, and Alice Beach was designed to be Bermudan architecture. Believe it or not, it's all on the same beach highway, and they all look entirely different, but wildly successful. Now, granted, Seaside took 30 years to finish and went through lots of trials and tribulations, but The point that I'm trying to make is that theming can be very powerful and very useful when it's done by developers and for the consumer rather than by the government. You also have to be a little careful with how you do it. For example, Seaside is so highly themed that the designer's imprint is on everything, even though all the buildings were individually designed. So much so that it was used in the Truman Show, if you remember the Truman Show. Yeah, it's like a stage set there. It's beautiful if you like that kind of architecture. But in each case, the county government there had little to do with this other than standing out of the way and allowing them to use new urbanist community planning principles and their own theming. In each case, I think you'll note in here that as of the writing of one article that I looked at Alice Beach, the last beachfront property sold recently for $6.9 million. They only paid $1.2 million for the entire 158-acre property, which is another thing. The theming issue works well on a small scale. By small scale, I mean Seaside is about 80 acres. Rosemary Beach, I think, is 105 acres, and Alice Beach is 158 acres. Now, Alice Beach is almost 900 homes if they chose to build it out that way. But they also have civic uses, commercial uses, and so forth. So one suggestion that I would have is that we look at where development is in the beach area, think of the idea of town building, and maybe what we create is a floating zone that allows you to apply the zone to the property that you have and move ahead with site plans such that some of the political decisions are taken out. And I would suggest that you could do that if you had a checklist of ingredients, not architecture, but community planning ingredients that you could check the boxes and say that I've got this much civic use, this much commercial, this much park, whatever the ingredients that the Planning Commission thought. And if so, I can apply that zone in that place and move ahead with site plans by right, to Mr. Hudson's point. And that pretty much summarizes this. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Mr. Key. Thank you for your work and your handout. Very, very helpful. Mr. Tunnel.
Hi, thanks for allowing me to speak. I'll try and be quick so you can move on. But as we start working on the and talking about the economic development section of the comp plan, I think everybody needs to realize that economic development really is a partnership between the county and the state. You can't build a business and expand a business without the proper zoning and a building permit. And then once you get those permits, you've got to move on to the regulatory process and DLDOT, DENREC, on down the line. And what really wanted me to come up here and talk today was I picked up a copy of the Sussex County Profile and was reading it prior to the meeting. And in it, there's a whole section from John Carney. And there's a sentence that says, we have a significant challenge around setting a favorable regulatory framework. And then it goes on. I talk to a lot of people my age that have small businesses, and they really seem prohibited from growing and expanding because of the regulatory framework. When you ride around the county, the perception is that our economic development right now is Wawa's and Walgreens, because those large companies are the ones that can withstand and work through the regulatory framework to build something. They're the large companies that have the financial wherewithal and the lawyers to do that. So as we work through the economic development section, I'd like you to just keep in mind that there should be a general theme that the county should try and be as proactive as possible, working with the legislature and the regulatory bodies in as regulation and legislation happen, to try and keep that economic development idea in mind. And one good example recently is through the DENREC stormwater process. The stormwater laws that were passed and then were overturned by a judge were overly prohibitive. You really couldn't build anything without writing a giant check to DENREC. But Todd Lawson had Hans Medlars appointed to the Regulatory Advisory Committee to rewrite the stormwater laws, and he's been a very level-headed and great on that committee. He's had a lot of great ideas, and he's really, really helped craft work through a stormwater law that is much easier to work through and build something under, but still protects the environment. So I'd like the county to keep that in mind, that there should be some proactive interaction with any new regulation or legislation that's coming, to keep that in mind, that we don't want to stop economic development by overregulation, and try and keep them as efficient as possible. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right, then. I want to thank everyone who took the time to come out and speak this morning. I apologize to those of you who have been waiting patiently. I know we had scheduled a half hour for public comment, but honestly, folks, this is your plan. It's the public's plan. public wants to be heard, I am going to let them speak. So that's what we've done. We do want to rearrange our agenda a little bit, commissioners, if.